We're going to celebrate communion after the message this morning, and I'm not too sure whether you kind of caught up with this, what we're trying to do, and your session has encouraged this, that we're kind of going to celebrate communion every 2 months, and we're also going to have a potluck every 2 months. So it's going to kind of try and work backwards and forwards between Atama and Waikapa here. So it's always good to gather around the table of the Lord as his family. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Now, this is a funny that I hope it's safe to share. Ethel said I could get away with it this morning because it's my birthday. But we'll see how it goes. A little old lady goes to the doctor and says, "Doctor, I have this problem with gas, but it really doesn't bother me too much. They never smell and are always silent. As a matter of fact, I've passed gas at least 20 times since I've been here in your office. You didn't know I was passing gas because they don't smell and are silent." The doctor says, "I see. Take these pills and come back to see me next week." The next week the lady goes back. "Doctor," she says, "I don't know what you gave me, but now when I pass gas, although still silent, they stink terribly." "Good," the doctor said. "Now that we've cleared up your sinuses, let's work on your hearing." Did I survive that or what? My inbox, yeah. The meaning of the cross. It's a serious subject, rather than joking and being flippant. It's a serious subject, but at the same time, there's a sense of joy about it. And I don't feel adequate to talk about the cross for just 25 minutes or so. There's so much about it to share. But I want to just start by saying something here that, as you have prepared, Kayla, to put this together. Bill Johnson from Reading has shared that there are a number of values that they hold and believe should be held by every community of faith. And he shares four of them straightforward, and I want to share those two, because I think they're just so worthwhile. The first one is that God is good. Did you get that theme this morning? That God is good. And because he is better than we think, we must change the way we think. So often we have not thought that God is essentially good. And he is. He's a good God. The second pillar of thought is that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Through faith, we enter into realms that were formerly defined as impossible. That's the nature of who God is. He works in the impossible. The third one is that everything was won at Calvary. Everything. Jesus' death on the cross was the ultimate victory over death, hell, the grave, everything. Our sicknesses, everything. And the fourth one is that everyone is significant. Every human being is made after the image of God and is significant. No one left out. Absolutely no one. They're pretty good values, right? Pretty good values. God is good. Nothing is impossible. Everything was won at Calvary. And everyone is significant. Well, the cross is a great contradiction. It's death. It's life. Hate, love, violence, and peace. Wholeness and brokenness. All is lost, yet everything is gained. Destruction, restoration, defeat and victory, once the cruelest form of execution, yet now it is the symbol of abundant life. Some of the movies, particularly one produced by Mel Gibson, depicts the crucifixion of Jesus and his death in the most violent and gruesome and horrific way, and it was. We don't need to concentrate so much on that, although that moves us emotionally and causes us to wonder and think about it. The reality is, it's who it was that entered into that death that is so significant. And I want us to think a little bit about that this morning. The cross means many things to many people. Some have it displayed on a shelf. Most churches have one on the wall or on the steeple. And we look at it every time we gather together. And yet, so often, as we've been thinking about, certainly in this past week at home group, we lose the wow. We lose the wow factor of the cross. It doesn't get to us anymore. And it passes us by, and we talk about the cross, but don't really appreciate it. Here's the thing. I'm just going to refer to a couple of scriptures this morning, rather than give you a kind of a formal reading. But the first one, the meaning of the cross is love. The cross is love. Purely and simply, love. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus did that. Incredible transaction. His life for yours. His life for mine. Death, that we might have life. That's a wow factor. And here it is. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. We didn't do anything good. We didn't have any righteousness of our own. We didn't accomplish anything great. We were still just sinners. And Christ loved us and died for us. Ah. And when someone who is not behaving as a Christian, who's not yet a Christian, we can't expect them to behave like a Christian. God loves them even to death. All our friends that don't know God, all those others not in the boat, he loves them. God is love. The essence of who God is love. God is love. That's who he is. We are so have so many images of what God is like, but when we experience love, we're experiencing God. God is love. I'm not depersonalizing God, but he is love. And on the cross it's demonstrated. He still loves sinners. Jesus still loves sinners. He came and gave his life for sinners. The gift of love to the undeserving. That's me. Demonstration. Next thing is, the cross is personal. Very personal. Most religions, people strive to reach deity. They strive in many cases to even become like God. But the cross demonstrates that God became like us. And gave himself as an example and a demonstration of what it means to die. And here's the thing, and thank you for Peter for reminding us about making stories fluff and fluffy. The reality of the cross is there was a Roman method of execution that was the most painful of the day. The idea of the cross, I believe, and this is for us to think a bit more deeply about, is so that we might die. We've got to die. You can't just expect life without death. There's got to be a death. We're people of the land here. We know that something's got to die before life comes. True? As we're heading up to Easter and Lent is this time of preparation for Easter, when we recognize the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, there's got to be a Friday before there's a Sunday. And a lot of people want to live in Sunday, but they don't go to Friday first. got to be a death to me, my ambitions, my desires, my ideas, my everything, because that's what the cross is. Very personal. Comes so personal to us. Deity became humanity and demonstrates to us what death and life is all about. Very personal. Philippians 3:10 is an amazing text. I want to know Christ. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. If you want to know Jesus, there's got to be a sharing in his death. Some people carry a cross, you know, and we wear a cross around our neck. But maybe, and I hope that's a symbol of what it means to carry a cross daily. A daily dying, because everything must die, and then we experience the life of God. And that's just so cool, so full of joy. So if it's going to be a Sunday, there's got to be a Friday before it. The cross is willful humility. Willful humility. And throughout this period of Lent, I encourage you in these 40 days, starting from last Wednesday, and I know it's maybe not your tradition that you hold to closely or tightly, but I would encourage you to spend the 40 days in preparation, anticipation of Easter. Easter is the culmination of all this. And what was the 40 days Lent, of course, means? The lengthening of days, and it was a Northern Hemisphere kind of an event. If you're familiar with Groundhog Day, the movie, Punxsutawney Phil, and you know, the rodent that comes out and does this, is going to be another 6 weeks of winter. That's where we get this idea of Lent from, that kind of thing. But it's also an opportunity to prepare ourselves over this time. Anticipation, a preparation, a going to the desert, a going to a place of dying. In the Catholic tradition, and in many cases in the Anglican tradition, the Ash Wednesday, they would burn the crosses that they made on Palm Sunday of last year and use the ashes to anoint on the foreheads. And you may have seen people walking around town with some ashes on their forehead. You haven't seen that? I didn't, because I wasn't in town. But so often that's the case, and still continues today. Why is that important? Because it's the state of, you know, in many cultures of the world, certainly in Bible culture, when ashes was kind of symbolic of this whole death and dying thing. Grieving, you know, and sackcloth and ashes, you know, that kind of thing. So, throughout Lent, I want to camp on this verse, Hebrews 12:2. Listen to this one. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him. I am blown away by the fact that we are his joy. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Wow. There's a wow. Jesus had you and me in mind. We are his joy. That's what willful humility was all about. Paul states in Philippians 2 that Jesus humbled himself in obedience and died a criminal's death on the cross. He willed his flesh, his mind, and his emotions to die on the cross. For you and for me, his joy. Galatians 2:20 says that we have been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? It means that death and dying thing again. As Christ followers, we are to be dead to our will, as Christ was. Our life's prayer should be, not my will, but yours, Lord. Is that hard to pray? It definitely is. Another point, the cross is prophetic. Prophetic. Many prophecies of the cross in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And Isaiah 53 is an amazing passage of scripture with prophecy. And I'd like us to listen very carefully as I read this. I think this is critical for us to hear. Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Everything was accomplished at Calvary. In 1 Peter 2:24 says this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. As we take bread and wine in a few moments' time, I want to encourage you, if you need healing in your body, it was accomplished at Calvary. If you need healing in your soul, if you are carrying wounds from the past, that healing was accomplished at Calvary. Receive it. If you have memories and wounds of the past, memories that haunt you, memories that keep you awake, I sense that that might be for someone this morning. Memories that keep you awake. Receive healing this morning as we take bread and as we take wine. He was disfigured, tormented, completely abused. But not only was his punishment prophesied, so was our atonement. So was our healing prophesied. The cross is prophetic, a divine exchange. Blessings for curses, completeness for brokenness, unrighteousness for wholeness. The redemption was prophesied. The healing was prophesied. And then the cross is final. Final. Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall. You might recognize this. And that wall was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but with great difficulty because of the load on his back. This is from Pilgrim's Progress. He ran thus till he came to a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross. And a little below, in the bottom, a sepulchre. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed from his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. That's an incredible picture of what Jesus did at the cross. And Christian, fellow Christian, sister and brother in Christ, if you're carrying burdens with you, I don't care what the burden is, remember, nothing is impossible. If you're carrying a burden, as you come to the cross, and as we take bread and wine, which so wonderfully speaks of what Jesus did at the cross, let the burden go. Let the burden go. So many gaze at the cross and yet hold on to past hurt, pain, stuff, problems. They don't belong on your back. They don't belong there anymore. The cross dictates that. Doesn't belong. It's not your spiritual gift to carry that burden and that pain and that stuff. It's not yours. Let it roll off. From Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, and they sang a new song with these words. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were killed, and your blood has ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have caused them to become God's kingdom and his priests, and they will reign on the earth. Redeemer, Lamb of God, worthy one. He gave it all on the cross. We've been going through this little series of messages to remind us of the foundations of the faith with the Apostles' Creed. And this morning was, I believe, in death, burial, and resurrection. And it's anticipation of Easter coming up. Although it's a a somber theme. The wonder of it, the well of it, is what Jesus has done. And he set this up on the night he was betrayed. And he took bread, the Passover meal, and he broke it. He said, "This is my body which is given for you." And then after supper he took a cup. And he said, "This is my blood which is poured out for you." He was talking about the cross. He was talking about giving himself. He was talking about the cross. Did they get it then? Probably not. But they did get Passover. They did get the memory of what it was like to be slaves once, and now they're delivered and they're free. Christians should be the happiest people on earth. Why? Because we were slaves, but now we're free. Because of the blood of the cross. So I trust this morning that this essence of the Christian faith that we hold dear, the cross, becomes more real, more significant, more wow for us, more significant to us as we take bread and as we take wine this morning. And I'm going to ask those who are serving, if you'd come forward now, while Joe plays for us a very haunting song. The words will be on the screen. It's sung in Hebrew. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for the bread and cup. Lord, thank you for the incredible words of that song. And it wasn't the nails that held me there. It was your love. And God, as we break bread today, as I break this bread now, it was love. It was demonstrated in your body that was given to us. As we take the cup this morning, Lord, we thank you that it was your love that allowed your life to be poured out for us. the God-man Jesus did it all. We have it all. We have healing. We have wholeness. Completeness. And Lord, as we take this bread and this wine, we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what it represents to us. And in the wonderful name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. I would ask us this morning if you retain the bread and the juice, and we'll celebrate together. Is that okay? Juice now. Let's enter into what it means to be loved and enjoy that. Let's eat and drink. Thank you. this time together is concluding. And it's been good to be together and enjoy the presence of the Lord. You sense the presence of the Lord here this morning. True? I really, really trust you've felt His embrace and you've experienced His goodness. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with all those who love Him until His coming. Amen. Please don't forget that we're always available to pray and sit with you or stand and laugh or cry with you, whatever's needed, that you may go from this place lighter, no burden. No backpack that you don't need. That might be the true thing. And then there'll also be opportunity, obviously, for fellowship and hanging out together at the back. And in here, we're those that have an interest in children's ministry will meet with Lynn and perhaps myself. So God bless you. Take enough time just to sit in quiet if you'd like to do that.